And thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Let me just say a couple things about the design dilemma. The in the spirit and the intent of doing this design dilemma online is to basically to engage the community in solving organization design challenges, which for those of you who do this work, know there's lots of challenges that go along with this work. And so the spirit here, one of the things is Tanya mentioned less than a month ago, we did a dilemma. And then Jim said, I have one. And I said, well, let's just jump on it and let's just not wait every 2 months. And if there's interest in the community, let's just keep the energy going and let the design dilemmas kind of determine people's motivation and relevance and meaning and participation. So here we are, less than a month later. Jim's got a cracking case for you guys to wrestle with. At the end, I'll try to add some insights or wisdoms if I have any. Without further waiting, let's get into it. I will say this, if you have a dilemma that you want to present in the near future when we're done with this, just let us know and we can talk you through it. And it's pretty simple. It's not over-designed. And I don't think there's a ton of preparation. So with that in mind, let me just take a real quick kind of pulse to see, maybe you can either raise your hand artificially by symbol or show your hand. For those of you who are able to get the pre-reading and or had a chance to review it or read it. So can I get a kind of a show of hands? Okay, so for those of you,
know Mark about the pre-reading.
That's okay. That's okay, Luciana. What I'm trying to get a sense of is, do we need to cover? So, Norma, how about for you? Rhonda says she didn't see anything. Janet,
no, I haven't seen anything.
So it looks like to me, Jim, maybe we should spend a few minute overview. And then open it up for questions. Are you okay with that?
Okay.
All right, you're on, Jim.
All right, a little background. At the time, I was working, I was a partner with a leadership development group, the RBL group, which has went through a stage where we had a fairly robust organization design practice based on the old OSD, organization design forum. And that RBL has now sort of transitioned into a focus on human resources management since one of our co-founders was Dave Ulrich. So this was a one-off at the time for us. It was a request by a client. The time frame for this was when there was a financial crisis in the stock markets, et cetera, with a lot of insurance companies holding the bag, especially reinsurance companies. So cost cutting was important to most of them at the time. So there was a sense of urgency to lean out. There were also a lot of what I call referred to as new shiny objects on the field. In the field, the idea of lean administration was nascent at the time. So a little background was that the CFO, the executive CFO, had been providing air cover to the CIO for some time on cost. The board and had requested that the company bring in an outside firm, the Hackett Group, and have them benchmark IT. IT came out in about as bad as they could be in the top 10% of spend, and in the middle to low area in terms of customer value add, meaning their internal customers rated them as basically getting by, but nothing great going on. So the request from the CFO was, give me a 30% cost cut, and you've got roughly 90 days to do it for next year's budget. The business partners and IT independently assessed the ability to get 30% of the cost out, and they essentially said it was going to be extremely painful for them to do it. We came in and given the 90 days to do a cost takeout, suggested to us from the get-go that there's going to be a big restructuring. This needs to be reorganized and recast, not just some trimming going on here and there. The upshot of that was that we set out a document called the placemat, which we'll put up in a minute on the screen for you to take a look at. And what we did was we worked with the business side and the IT side independently first to identify things that weren't working well and sources of high spend. And so the financial people put the dollars on each one of the what we call organizational systems, and the business partners put on the business value side, and the IT folks put on the IT effort and cost and waste side of it. We then brought them together after they had done their assessments of each of the different systems, and for a presentation to the executive CFO and the executives of the lines of business and CIO. And they came back with what we call an aha moment, or a lot of other adjectives around that we had to respond to. So what we're going to explore is what they found, where they were, and then we're going to present to you what the moment was that they brought back after their assessment, and what we would do about it. How do we go about that? Then we'll share with you what it is that we actually did. And along the way, we'd really like to have discussion about this. So let me first put up the, if you could, put up the macro design placemat.
Hey, Jim, before you go into the macro design placemat, can we give our colleagues here an opportunity to just ask you some clarifying questions about what you just said?
Sure.
So let's just take a couple minutes and see if there's any clarifying questions to Jim at this point in time.
Right ahead.
I have a question, Jim. How open, you know, I always want to look at the cultural background of this. How open is this group to the scope that you recognized this project needing at the time when you were confronted by it and working and introducing yourselves to the organization as a consultant?
We did not, before we started the diagnostic, we did not provide them with any of our concept of what it was going to take to get it done, other than this was not a simple incremental cost takeout. This could have restructuring implications. And the executive CFO and CIO were all in. They said, go for it.
So Jim,
we had a good reputation with them from Dave Ulrich. And so we were trusted advisors without ever proving worthy of their trust.
So with that in mind, furthering Kathy's question, did what was the scope that was given to you when you went in, if at all? And after you did your initial diagnostics, did that scope change at all? And what was that?
Okay, the initial mandate that the CIO delivered was, to his direct reports, give me options for a 40% cost takeout. Deliver it so that it will be the basis of, it will be included in the basis for next year's budget, and you've got 90 days to do it. And so the scope of impact and the scope of change was completely unknown at that point, other than 40% was a pretty big number. The executive CFO asked the CIO for 30%.
Other questions before we let Jim go? Any other questions that you want to ask? Yeah, go ahead, Bruce, please. You don't have to raise your hand.
You.
The question is whether in this session we should talk to each other like we're peers and just spew out what's on our mind, or if we should be a little more careful as if the client is part of this.
I do not see her name on the list. She may view the video, but she is one of the most engaging and open acting executives I've ever worked with. So I say, feel free.
I will say this, Bruce, is choose wisely because we're peeling the onion. So there's probably lots of questions. So let's give Jim a chance to kind of unveil the things he needs to, and then let loose your perspective.
Any other questions?
All right, let's rock on if there's nothing else, Jim.
All right, so let me clear this. Just so that you understand what we asked them to explore and what we help them explore, this is a generic model for any organization. We have used it for small teams. And we have used it for large, complex organizations, multi-divisional organizations. But the key is that there are some things that if they all hang together, you can make decisions and choices that end up with a good final solution. So on the left-hand side, what you see is two groups. The first group, aspirations. So we ask the team of 12 senior leaders in IT plus the CIO to say, what is the purpose of this team? And they said, essentially, take 40% of cost out, give them a proposal for 40% of cost takeout for next year's budget. We all agree, we understand what that is. Any questions? No, let's move on. So as we work together, what do we value most? And blunt feedback, honest feedback, selflessness came up. And so as I opened the conversation with them here, I said, we're going to ask you to look at things in two perspectives. One is from a selfless point of view, and the other is from a selfish point of view. And when those two are in complete conflict, then we ought to think about how to resolve those conflicts, but we won't necessarily be able to as we move through, just so that people understand that tensions could grow, but we can manage them. The next was, so what would a perfect solution look like? And they gave descriptions of things like we would take out waste, and we would meet the objective of 40% recommendations with risk assessment of taking that whole 40%. So are there any boundaries? And we challenged the CIO to work with the line of business execs to say, are there any things that they believe are untouchable moving forward? And they identified only one thing that was untouchable, and that was a major renovation of a portfolio of applications for the financial services group. That will proceed, that will be done as it was designed. And then what are the specific outcomes that we deliver? And so they speculated on things like what the proposal would look like, what a risk assessment would look like. In the center, what we asked them to do is to now think about your organization as a set of systems and come back and tell us in each box, what is it that we should be addressing as we go through this effort? So if we have a work system, just to tune you into this, and then I'll give you the comments. The work system, that's where your processes, your tools, facilities, technology, IT is part of the work system. And that was sort of a struggle for the IT group to look at. Why aren't we the information system? No, you produce the information that goes through that is part of the information system, but you aren't the information system. And then structure has all of the elements that bind things and keep them organized. The talent system includes culture, which is not written on there, but it includes the culture that you're trying to create. The incentive systems essentially incent the results that you want, both behavioral results and tangible, I should say, and intangible results. And then the next one is, as I pointed out in the document that we sent out, was I asked them about the adaptation and improvement system, and the response to that one was, what? We don't do adaptation. We just heads down build products for the financial services group. Any questions about those chunks? And why we use those and how? Oh, okay.
I have a quick question. So did you shared this placement thing with the client and asked them to fill it out?
And we coached and we facilitated the conversations. Yes.
Thank you.
So they came back with hundreds of post-it notes. I think maybe 300 plus post-it notes that I'll resolve down to just a few comments that we put in the on the back side of this for the downloaded document. And that was that, go ahead.
Before you jump into it, we had two people. Susan had her hand up and Lindsay's got her hand up now. So I don't know if it's okay. A good time to
deal there.
All right. I can only see five people. So go ahead, Lindsay.
That was my bad, Jim. Should have had it. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Yeah. When they said adaptation improvement, what do you mean? Like, how did you explain that to them and what you meant in this context?
Yeah. How do you adapt all of these systems to changing conditions? So, and one thing that we discovered, or they discovered, or excuse me, they revealed to us, was that they had about 60 developers who were working in a programming language that had been essentially retired 12 years prior to this work effort. So they never adapted, they simply layered one thing on top of the next, on top of the next, on top of the next.
Susan had her hand up next.
Yeah, I would like them, if you can explain a little bit about alignment systems to anchors and systems among systems, that would be
Yeah, how do you align the incentive system to the work system, for example? Are you incenting the right behaviors and are you incenting the right outcomes from these things? Or are your incentives actually counterproductive to what you're trying to accomplish in the work system or the structure system? It's not unusual, and I think you've all run into this, is that you've got certain controls and authorities like signature authority for spend, things like that. And then you've got incentives that could never be achieved you've got bonuses that can't be achieved because of structures that are in place. So how do you align those? And then anchors is sorry about that. That's a jargon term for us, is anchors are the boundaries and pre-made choices over on the left-hand side. So for example, if their HR department always organized and thought of organizations as hierarchical structures. So that was an anchor when working with HR. So if we had, but that may or may not be something that we want to use going forward. And we'll talk about that. Go ahead, Mark.
So Jim, let's keep going into the case study, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. So in the case, what came back to us was thinking about the work system. There are too many starts and stops. We start something, you change our priorities. So the business people, the IT said, you change our priorities. So we have to stop everything and switch to something else. They referred to it as destructive time slicing. We work like a long train. By the time the caboose starts moving, the locomotives is a mile away, was the analogy, is that they sometimes finish a project after the product that they just designed is no longer in the sales department's offerings. And these are financial instruments. Think of an annuity in that case. The let's see. They cherry pick team members. The business will hold off on launching a project until the people they want on the project are freed up from the work that they're doing, as opposed to starting it with given enough time to actually finish it within time constraints of the project and budget constraints of the project. There's a 20-year-old systems that only a few people are familiar with, and some not even in the company anymore. They bring people out of retirement to come back and put patches on products that are being serviced for customers, financial instruments. The structure system that they give right to veto to just about everybody on the RACI chart. And so everything is a battle to get a decision made or changed. Project authorization takes place twice a year. They produce about 200 project proposals, of which about 150 are approved. And that effort takes months to develop all of these proposals at the level of detail that's needed to go. Information, they're working in the dark ages. They made the analogy to Game of Thrones, where the requirements come in and messenger crows. So they never start a project with a full set of requirements. The talent system, HR Partners does all the recruiting because the recruiting group doesn't have the capabilities or the understanding to recruit IT staff. They have their own learning and development group within IT. And so they can only do as much learning and development for their customers as their resources allow.
So Jim, these are things that you found through your diagnostics, I'm assuming these are the things you've uncovered.
Yeah, this is what they reported back when we brought the business partners and the IT leaders to present to the CFO and the business execs, the CFO, CIO, and the business execs. This is what they reported to them.
What was some of the feedback from the business to IT that they did not see or know about?
The feedback was that they never understood the negative impact of time slicing or this start and stop kind of an issue that they had. They did not recognize that the waterfall development method that was used was only successful if all requirements were present at the top of the waterfall.
Right.
They also were not made aware of IT product, or excuse me, financial instrument products developed in IT that never went to market, or that were removed from market after they had been completely designed and accepted by the business partners. So there were a number of those kinds of revelations that took place, and that's what led to the then it happened. So at this point, we were going to have a breakout to maybe ask questions about the placemat and about the case, but want to leave it open here now address any other questions that anyone has.
Let's do that, Jim. Let's open it up for questions about what Jim described and or anything else about what they found in the discovery. Let's not go into what they did because that's coming. All right, Bruce, what do you got?
I see a lot of logistics data, well assessed and organized. And I'm wondering what the either mapped or unmapped emotional data was about the feelings. I'm having feelings myself, so I'm wondering what the feelings were among you, the potential consulting group, the team you're working with, the users, and so forth. Was there an assessment of cultural, emotional, that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And it was collected and expressed. I'll start from the line of business executives, and feedback was disappointment that they had not paid attention to the ongoing issues between the business partners and the IT team. The business partners expressed some apology levels for keeping that out of the discussions with their executives. The IT teams sort of rose up, sort of got a lot of energy behind them with all the acknowledgement by their business partners of their participation in the mess, as they referred to it. There was some defensiveness in the discussions, but no defensiveness in the presentation to the execs. They kept all of their selfish issues in the room with their team members, and did not share it with the executive group. They came out as one unified group saying, here's what we learned. It's raw, but it's what we learned and move forward from there. Go ahead, Mark.
Jim, Rhonda asked a question. I'll read it. What kind of diagnostic questions did you ask to dig deeper into the culture, emotional sentiments?
Actually, we're a little devious on that. And that is that we bring a consultant along with us, and we enlist HR business partners to observe and characterize the culture, and then play it back afterwards. So we didn't explicitly collect culture data, although we did use employee engagement survey data from 3 months old to get some insight to it. But we asked the HR business partners to help us characterize the cultures. There are a number of microcultures in IT organizations. And the culture of the organization that is the relationship between the IT leaders and their business partners. And then play it back to them and collect comments. And there was pretty much solid agreement with the proposal that the HR business partners made.
Okay, some other questions. Yep, go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, I have a question about customer impact. You know, I'm looking at this and saying, wow, obviously it's high cost. So it's an issue for the organization from an administrative cost perspective, but how on earth is this impacting the actual getting the product to market and then its sales numbers? And how was that measured or looked at, how was that measured and looked at and then connected back to the leadership of the organization and to the alignment, you know, that we're talking about, alignment of systems to systems? Where does, what kind of connection was made there?
Yeah. So if I bring you back to the left side there with anchors.
Yeah.
One of the anchors that was proposed was that whatever we do has no negative impact on end customers or agents.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I'm saying is what did they learn? I'm just curious what business case they brought from a customer perspective around this issue, because I can't imagine the kind of issues that you were describing didn't have a major impact on customers and product development.
They would if these people didn't work themselves to the bone to avoid those impacts.
Okay. That's
so notice I said a few times a product would be delivered but never sold. It was because the development time took so long that the market went away. So that wouldn't have had an impact on a customer.
Jim, quick kind of a umbrella question from Susan, which I think is right, is what's the design dilemma that you want this group to wrestle with in a few minutes? What is it that you've laid out the case, but is there something that you want them to wrestle with?
Yeah. Okay. So let me move on to the punchline. The business partners and the IT leaders, their connections to the business partners, made their presentation, and then they said, "We only have one question," and that question is, can we change everything? And the CIO turned to the business executives and more as a question than a statement said, you can change everything and anything so long as customer experience has no negative impacts. And the business executives all nodded in approval. So the dilemma was, how do you completely redesign a 600 plus person IT function and its relationship to business partners in less than 90 days? So that you can determine what the costs are and achieve the 30% cost reduction.
A couple of questions before we go into having the groups talk about that. We've got a couple of questions, one from Rhonda in the chat. Let me go back to Rhonda's. And Rhonda said, please restate the guiding principles and or assumptions you made to set the stage for the macro design alignment work.
I'm not sure about the question. What's meant by guiding principles around?
Rhonda, would you like to clarify?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just setting the expectations for not only what you want them to be able to come together to do, sort of the rules of engagement, if you will, in the time that they're working together on this, you're interacting with them, sort of what are those assumptions to sort of create the guardrails for the working time together.
Okay, a few examples was first, they all agree that what they're there to do is to deliver a 30% budget, a budget that is 30% lower than the current year. They established a set of work of values about how they would interact when they did this. Selflessness, blunt feedback, share feelings and those types of things. But the key is that there were no boundaries provided to them as part of the challenge, the business challenge, which is they were just given the raw mandate, 30% budget, lower budget next year. So they had to sort all that out for themselves. Okay. And that's what led to this sort of summary that I gave you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ron, for that clarification. Bruce asks, are customers here in this instance internal, or are they more the external, what he calls marketplace insurance clients? So,
customers included agents of the organization and the agents' customers. So that would be the annuity purchasers, the investment portfolio purchasers, et cetera.
Greg, does that make sense to you?
What I was curious about is, where are those voices in the diagnostic here? Jim, I realize that you're just giving us a small snapshot of a big piece of work that you did, but as I'm reading through that pre-proposal assessment, I don't see where the customers' voices came in here. I mean, did they care that some IT products were being developed and delivered after it was no longer needed? Did they care about how long it took to get a team together to develop products? I'm just curious about what those internal customers cared about. They're paying for this, but did they actually pay attention or care?
The internal customers, well, first of all, the business unit is fabulously profitable. It is profitable to the limits allowed by the secretaries of state within which they operate. And they could readily exceed it. They choose not to and it's a mutual insurance company and a mutual company as a whole. So they pay those excess profits back in dividends to policyholders and instrument holders. Their customer satisfaction rating is in the top percentile for it. So a lot of waste gets pushed to the edges of the organization. They just push it to the edges of the office, rather, as they go through. So, and the business partners to IT from the lines of business are the advocates of the external agents and instrument purchasers. Does that make sense?
Bruce, would you like to expand on your question about the business partners question, or has Jim answered that?
And it wasn't, you know, Jim, I don't know if you got that, but I think of it, I'm going to paint a little bit broader piece. One of my fears is that I don't want to take this job as a consultant because it's going to be a disaster and I'll look bad. And I think of it as, what can I do as a consultant to get rid of my own fear so that I can start dealing with theirs? But that's why I'm saying this. Well, my suspicion is that there's going to be a big cutting, and that there's a, you know, a comet coming at us here, and we need to prepare for the comet before we make rational decisions. That's a, you know, a fear that I have.
So and, what's the comment, Bruce? What's the comment in practical terms?
The comment is that when we cut back our actual services, because we've cut costs on the, you know, when we're barely getting by anyway, then the delivery to the external marketplace income producing customers is going to be hurt. And when that happens, the repercussions will be big, and that we need to be prepared for that. That's where I'm coming from.
So let me peel that, you know, layer by layer. One is our shock, the consultant team of three people who started this thing. We were the lead team on this. Our shock was that the CIO and the exec CFO had not even thought about boundaries. They were strictly thinking of cost. The second was that we came in here to do a cost takeout, and now we're being asked to do a complete organization redesign. And we've only got less than 90 days to do it. So we can take 30% cost out in 90 days. That's not a big problem. But without creating collateral damage and without creating a litany of unanticipated or unintended consequences, that was our concern. So when we get into how we approach the solution to this, I think you'll see how we assuaged our concerns. Before we went into the next phase of this, we took time to explain that the business partners were not accountable for any cost reduction. They were accountable for customer satisfaction and end customers not being having negative experiences as a result of it. That's their selfish role. As team members and partners with IT, their selfless role is to be willing to change what they do and how they do what they do in order to allow IT to deliver 30% budget cut. Does that track with you?
Bruce? I hear the dilemma.
Yeah, so Bruce, I'm gonna ask us to keep going if you don't mind.
Yeah, I agree.
Great. Any other questions before we put you into groups? And Jim, what do you want them to do in the breakout groups?
So come back to the question, how do we transition from, we've now got 12 or so people from lines of business and 12 or so people from IT. They're all senior leaders. They came in asked to do a budget cut, and now they have now asked for permission to redefine the whole organization, anything and everything for IT.
Okay, got it. So the whole IT being the IT function.
Yeah. So let's change. We saw changes to the work system, structure system, information system, talent system, incentives, and this adaptation thing that you talk about. And we need one of those. And we need this alignment system in place so that we don't fall back into old bad habits as we go forward. And they've said yes. So we've got a tiger by the tail.
Susan, before we go into breakout groups.
Yes. I want to confirm that you have to take the cost out in 90 days, identify the cost to take out in the 90 days and be able to deliver it right away. Is that the contract you have, or
no,
the assignment you have?
They have to identify the 40% opportunities, which the CIO is going to accept 30% of at least, based on recommendations. And then that sets the cost, that cost, those dollars will be removed from the current year's budget and become the following year's budget. So next year's budget is going to be 30% less than this year's budget.
So they could have 11 months to implement the changes so that they can deliver the cost next year.
They have they have some number of months to eliminate the cost so that at the end of next year, they will have spent 30% less than this year.
Right. Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Jim, we're down to about 9-10 people. Do you want to still do a breakout or would you prefer to just keep it plenary?
Let's just keep it friendly if everybody wants to do that.
Okay. All right. So the challenge, again, the question is that you want them to wrestle with is what?
So how do you make the, how do you take this group and transition them to an organization design project from a relatively straightforward cost reduction effort?
All right.
And remember the 90 days is they've got to have the number in less than 90 days.
Do they have to have the number or they have to achieve the number?
They have to have the number because it's going to come out of next year's budget, not this year's.
Okay.
Right.
So if the changes haven't been implemented, as long as they knew where the changes were going, that's what they needed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yes.
All right, so what are your reflections? How about this? For Lindsay's four-legged colleague there, why don't we just do a one-minute quiet time so that we're not just reinforcing the instant coffees on the call. Why don't just like 1 minute, just like what would you do to make that transition and why? And let's hear from everyone and we'll see you in 1 minute.
We can take away the placemats so everybody's on the screen. There we go.
All right. Why don't we start with someone we haven't heard from? Lindsay, would you like to don't worry about it doesn't have to be right or wrong. You're completely among friends and colleagues here. So what are your reflections based on Jim's question to us? How would you make that transition?
Yeah, I think I have three. The first, particularly coming from higher ed, is 90 days is such a short period of time. And so that gives me some heartburn, but not bad heartburn. And so I think identifying and creating work streams for each kind of pillar area to then dig into what they had identified and make that a reality, right? So I identify what they need to cut, what they need to change, how they're going to do it in the, incentives, information, whatever that may be. But also, knowing that the 30% cut, unfortunately, it's difficult to find that savings without a human impact. I was thinking through, how do you make the structure work stream and the talent work stream kind of pulled out from the rest of the work streams? And create a space where the capabilities are driving what the cuts are instead of just the dollar amount, which in my experience is often how those are made, is just the percent savings they need from the humans cut instead of what do we really need and what don't we need as much of. So that in 60 seconds, that's what I came up with.
All right, who would like to go next?
Can I jump in? It's Janet. I apologize, I'm sitting in the dark. We have no power. But I can see all of you beautifully. So I think, just a couple of thoughts. I think I'm going with Lindsay's three. The first is that I would begin by redoing the placemat for the new purpose. I think that would be critical. I think the second thing would be, and especially in an IT department, I don't know how many people are familiar with the term digital fragility. It's something I learned from my children who are involved in the arts department. The notion that IT systems and IT software and programs and the whole IT infrastructure is shifting so dramatically fast that it is really a major issue in these departments. And what Jim was describing, you know, where you've got different generations of software development or platforms, et cetera, is really problematic. So I would begin, second thing I would do would be a serious sort of scenario planning. You know, what does the future look like? Where is this actually going? With an awful lot of unknowns, no doubt. And I think the third thing I would definitely pay a lot of attention to is the processes of shifting from the current reality to that desired future reality.
Janet, clearly you're just sitting in the dark and you're quite in the light with your questions and the things that you'd raise. Question back to you is, how would focusing on that inform the need for the leadership team to recognize and appreciate that they need to do a redesign, which is not the same as a restructure, which is not the same as just taking costs out?
So a simple answer, I think it would be, number one, critical, because I think it would be vital to them really understanding why this matters so much, and the complexities that IT departments are really dealing with at the moment.
Okay, who would like to go next? Marissa, would you like
to go? Something that I would do is to map out the key customer experience journeys. What are the key things that customers need the IT organization to do? I find that lots of internal business operations organizations like IT tend to take on and keep doing things that they no longer need to do, building up their technical debt, processes that are just overly bureaucratic and are really not supporting what the key requirements are of the business as the business evolves. So I would do just a mapping of the key customer experience journeys. What are the 6 to 10 things that customers need the IT organization to do? Then design the organization to do those top 10 things. And again, this is something that would evolve. You don't always do the top 10 things. The top 10 things don't stay the same, you know, year after year. As Janet was saying, things move very quickly. But what are the top 10 experience journeys? Design the organization around those. And then look at all these stuff you're doing that don't actually map to any of those top 10 experience journeys and start to remove those things. I don't know if that's removing people. It just may be removing costs. It may be removing maintenance costs on systems that really aren't used much. It could be a whole, you know, plethora of things. Well, but I think it's really looking at the customer.
It's a really good point you raise, which is the word cost could mean many things. And I'm glad that you've raised that, because one of the questions I have here, Jim, just to clarify, did they think of costs as heads, or could it be capacity release, where it could be fees, stopping work that's unnecessary, or was it just pure head count?
No suggestion of that, but the team itself put into its principles that anything goes. We can cut anything, we can change anything, so long as it doesn't disrupt customer and customer experience.
Okay, great. Mark, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go quick. You know, I think the bigger theme I'm hearing here is one I had too, which is really what I'd want to find out is now that they've done this diagnosis and have come together with this 12 plus 12 folks you mentioned and have looked at this, you know, holistically, how much are they still concerned with the budget, right? Which you said could be done pretty easily. You could just cut out 100 and some projects, whatever, or make people changes. Sure. So how much now are they really committed to doing that? And that needs to be done, making decisions on that can happen over a period of time versus using what they learned from the model and the framework you provided to see some of the systemic connections between even how some of these business unit leaders are compensated and what's driving, you know, there's a lot of really interesting connections and symptoms that I'm wondering if those ahas truly came out and there's a chance to reframe, recontract for what they want to do. And there's still a yes and. I think, yes, you still can achieve the budget and you can do so much more. So that's kind of where I would be heading.
So more keep it a holistic effort. Is that what you're saying, Mark?
That's right. If they and to because you were brought in for a more specific request, but now that they've had this new insight, it seems like a ripe opportunity to recontract for doing that bigger work, which could take some more time, take them more, you know, more focus on the future, what they truly want to be and what they truly want to address now that they have this new insight from that diagnosis and more broad understanding from, you know, the group of folks who were participating.
Okay, Kathy, you have some thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, building on what some people have been saying, that looking at, okay, what is the customer expectation there? Let's look at the work process, because it seems like, you know, there are key issues around getting the work done. Just basic questions around getting the work done. What is the work process? What is it? What targets do these 12 people, or 24, I guess, agree on around, and what do the business leaders really want in terms of targeting around work process cycle time, work process quality, product design, and getting clarity there. And then in that process, plugging in the inputs. Okay, so what are the key decision points around that? And who needs to make those decisions in the business? Who does the work and what's extraneous? What are they doing now? You know, as Marissa was saying, what are they doing now that they no longer need to do and what costs can be removed? What kind of talent capability is required there? What do people need to be able to do to make that happen? And therefore, what kind of training or new staff or whatever is needed? So you start plugging in all the ancillary work systems, you know, of the systems that you have there and bringing about alignment. But the focus needs to ultimately be on how much time does it take to get the product to market? And where, you know, what role does IT, where does IT plug in there and what don't they need to do? And then who is the talent and then the work incentives that need to support that? So, I mean, maybe I'm seeing this too simplistically, but I feel like in the 90 days that you've got, if you don't have a good handle on what the work process needs to look like, you can be just ad hoc, you know, cutting, which is what businesses do. They ad hoc cut costs, but they never actually fix the problem. So again, I mean, I have a very simple way of thinking about it, but that's ultimately, you've just got a lot of people sort of operating at odds and not clarifying and not focusing on the work that needs to be done and having the talent in place and the incentives in place to make that work.
Thanks, Kathy. Susan, you want to give it a, you have some additional wisdoms, insights, reflections?
Yes, perhaps. I think building on what everybody has said, I would think that I wouldn't focus necessarily on cutting costs. I would focus on redesigning the work system, the organization, to focus on delivery. So I would tend to, because I'm wondering whether the 12 directors had involved their staff in terms of identifying the opportunities in terms of 30%. So I would expand the number of people. I would probably do some large groups and then to do small group work in between large groups to get more representation of the whole system to work it in terms of redesigning. And I would say that you would put the business and the IT more together. It looks like this is a central IT, you know, pretty traditionally designed IT organization. One of the things in terms of work process that they can do immediately is to go from a waterfall to an agile software development approach, which is well known in the IT industry, and so on and so forth. So we would need to bring in some inspiration in terms of what others are doing, how are they able to deliver products faster. And the importance to know that, you know, it is impossible to know all requirements. IT development is typical. So you never have all the requirements at the beginning. And therefore, to use a more agile approach to have ownership, working closely with the business is a way to increase the speed of delivery and the delivering a more quality product, meeting the requirements. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Susan. Rhonda, how about for yourself? Anything to add?
Well, I'm the newest to the org design discipline. So how about a rookie attempt here? I really like the sound of a combination of what everyone is saying, but I really like the thought of mapping out the desired customer experience journey. I think that's very powerful. And then the other thing that comes to mind is, are the leaders in the room aligned to what the value stream is and how that customer experience maps to that? And then I think you can start to look at the capabilities and the linkages and the work. And I like the idea of what Susan just said too, is, you know, cast out a wider net to bring other voices into the design. Because they are the ones who ultimately have to live with the outcomes, and why not have a voice in how to shape the world of work in which they have to operate and be expected to step up their game with new capabilities for the future. Those are my thoughts.
I just want to add that including customers and when I say the whole system. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Rhonda. Abigail, how about for yourself? You're on mute, just in case. All right, hey Bruce, how about for you? What are any reflections that you might have had?
I was wondering where the rookie is in Rhonda. That was so well put together.
That's our next org design dilemma.
My two big things that I've taken as in this assembly are recontracting and I think, you know, Kathy started a long time ago, customer, and a lot of us built on that. But I think of it as from my role, Jim's role with, you know, in this, it's to go to my client and say, I'm not going to do it the way it is. I have some ideas on how it might work. And if you're willing to consider that we might try something for a short time, but we'll talk it out first, then I'm willing to go with it. And if they are, I would say, first, we start by paying attention to whatever we do. It has to be about delivering to your customers so they can deliver to their customers, the same chain everybody else here has been painted. And that the final will be what will we cut? Not just costs, but what else will we cut in order to make that delivery work? And what we cut may not be in the recontracted world, the 30% or in the time deadline, that may need to be recontracted, but we're going to reconfigure first, if you're going to work with me, what we're going for here. And then, of course, I'd have everybody else here in the room give their presentation so that they were more articulate than I was about it.
Thanks for that, Bruce. Jim, we have about 20 minutes left. How about you talk about what you ended up doing in order to make that transition, and leave about 9 minutes left before we finish.
Okay. So we took an extended period in the, let's say, the refreshment area of the hotel one night and way into the early morning, and resulted in, let's bring some 21st century methods together with some 20th century methods. And we dragged out GE Workout from the toolkit. Everybody familiar with GE Workout? Good. Okay, so we dragged out GE Workout, and then we moved forward a couple of years and we dragged out appreciative inquiry. And those of us who had had experience with large scale interventions with appreciative inquiry and GE Workout came up with the idea of bringing in Scrum, Agile Scrum, into the program. So what we were doing was we said, so let's let the people vent using GE Workout and have them identify everything that they believe they can stop doing today and would have no impact on the end customers, the agents and the instrument purchasers. Let's then say, what can you do in 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days, and when 90 days or more? And so we'll use a GE Workout style to identify waste and attribute waste to the systems. And then what we swung, that was day one of a 2-day, not so offsite because this company owns their own conference center. So we just relocated the 24 or so leaders that we had been working with, added another 15 or 20 to that list, and went offsite and did GE Workout on day one. And they came back with things that could be done in 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days, and more than 90 days. It would take more than 90 days to affect any cost reduction. The next day, we had them present that to each other and discuss how to go about it using the appreciative inquiry approach. And so combined, the business and IT formulated proposals to do things like stop producing these 200 plus project proposals for this year and use the current inventory plus some incremental changes going forward. And if we did that, we would release about a third of the senior leaders' time between now and the end of the year to work on this. So as somebody mentioned, what can we just stop doing that may not have cost reduction, but will allow us to get to the cost reductions? The 2-day workshop started with, I'm just looking at my notes. We ended up with 65 leaders from finance, IT, HR, and the operating units. And we combined those methods of workout and appreciative inquiry and categorized opportunities for cost reduction, which they referred to as waste elimination, and for 30, 60, 90, and next year reductions. Question?
No, okay. I think we're good.
So in that was all wrapped up by 10 o'clock on Friday morning. And so they spent the rest of the day and they designed about a dozen sprints to return 5% cost reduction in the next 30 days with a likelihood of 100% ability to achieve that number. And
Jim, quick clarifying question on that. In the 5%, I'm assuming that's translated into effort in time and productivity, not so much headcount reduction. Is that correct?
There was zero headcount reduction involved in that 5%.
Perfect. That's what I need to know. Thanks for that. Keep going. Okay.
The second was another dozen sprints were created to return an additional 5% within 60 days with a risk assessment of 80% likelihood. So best case, they got 5%. Worst case, they got 4% out of that. Now those sprints were to be launched the following week, all of them, to get started. And so they had to call in the exec, which the exec CFO and CIO were the only ones that were required. They came in and they approved it, because the business had already suggested it and their teams had already suggested it. The 90-day plus sprints that we're going to start in 2 to 4 weeks were targeted on contracts and agreements, which a number of people mentioned, with a 20% likelihood, with a 20% goal and a likelihood of 80%. So what they said was that within 90 days plus some amount of time, different for each one, we can give you 30% best case on this. So we need to go a little bit further and we need a little more time to figure that out. So this was 2 days and they identified pretty much three quarters of what they were asked for out of it. Another 20% was time phased over the coming fiscal year with a likelihood of about 60%. And that was based on their ability to negotiate new contracts. Okay, so let me jump. So essentially what they came back with on a commitment after 2 weeks was they can give you 30% of the 37% risk adjusted goal, we can give you 30% that you need. And our goal is really risk adjusted to 37% that we can return on this. And then here's what happened. We immediately dragged out our change leadership and team self-design workshops and scheduled all of the 24 business and IT leaders through the workshops to take place in the following 2 weeks. So the first one was on team self-design. And that is, how does a team come together and organize itself to accomplish a goal, to fulfill a purpose in our language? The change leadership was to train trainers to go out and train all the other leaders, coach all the other leaders on how to implement the changes that were coming down the line, how to determine what the impacts are, how to mitigate or to alleviate the impacts, identify risks, et cetera, all of the things that would be done in a change management program distributed across the entire leadership team of IT and the business segments of the business that they would be working with. They landed on on Scrum training for the leaders, and other divisions pitched in their Scrum masters to do that training. So the property and casualty group, the special insurance group, the banking group, et cetera, of this financial institution all pitched in at no cost their scrum masters. And HR pitched in their change leadership and change management folks that had already gone through our courses to train the leaders and to train that right down to the frontline leaders to prepare for implementation before we even had the designs and the solutions done. They also landed on a different organization model, which would be a network of dynamic teams as opposed to a hierarchy relationship with centers of excellence. They called them architecture centers in IT. And those folks would help everybody design the products going forward, as opposed to having full teams assigned to each line of business, full complement of skills to each line of business. And they asked that that be a one to two year experiment in case it just fell on its face, because the only place that had done it previously was State Street Bank in Boston. And so it was a bit of a risk. So what did they end up with? Let's leap. So I mentioned a couple of things. One is appreciative inquiry. If you want reference on that, I would recommend Cooper Ryder and Whitney's book on appreciative inquiry. If you're looking for something on GE Workout, I would recommend Ulrich Carr and Aspenas' book on GE Workout. There's another key player here was Keen Associates. Keen Associates agreed to another one of these experiments with us. They would assume management of the entire retired technology support teams. They would hire all of the current employees on at least a one-year contract, a one-year agreement. And they would assume all of the maintenance, repairs, and minor extensions to any of those retired systems, retired technologies. And that resulted in a significant cost reduction. And what they ended up with was teams that were knowledgeable and experienced in technologies that they could sell to other customers and were very hard to find in the marketplace.
One minute, Jim, if you don't mind stopping in 1 minute.
Okay, so 18 months later, Hackett Group put them in the 25th percentile of spend. So they had leapt from the 80th, the 90th down to the 25th, and the 80th percentile of internal value add assessed by their customers. It's kind of self-serving because the customers were part of the solution design. The RBL Group employee engagement survey showed a engagement improvement of 30 points of IT customer engagement from previous year. And we brought in the Zenger Folkman leadership assessment, and that showed an identified 7 extraordinary leaders from 0 as our baseline measurement, and not one underperforming leader in either of the two functions, the lines of business or IT functions. Consultants, 18 months later, the consultants were designing a banking division and renovating the HR organization and finance organizations simultaneously. So I guess we won a little bit on the program itself. So this idea that, as we were talking before we started on methodology, is, yeah, GE Workout's an old methodology, but it was a great way of what one of the leaders referred to as constructive kvetching.
So, Jim, I'm going to stop you there because we've got about 6 minutes.
Yep.
I want you to do one thing for me here, and I just in real brief time is looking back. As you know, as a consultant doing this work, we typically are pretty hard on ourselves evaluating, but we identify what didn't go well. What didn't go well in this project that, looking back, like, I would have done that differently? Just one or two items that you think from your perspective would be really helpful.
Yeah, running eight groups through appreciative inquiry and GE workout is not a job for three consultants. We underestimated, and we were literally running for 2 days and two nights to get it done, which we hope didn't have any negative impacts on the client or on the outcomes. Another is that don't always trust your senior partner when they say it's a simple cost takeout. Do your own due diligence, which probably we should have learned that earlier, but we didn't. Methodology-wise and outcome-wise, I don't think any of us could have expected a better outcome than what we got from it. But I would attribute the bulk of it to the culture of the client company. When the Scrum Masters started to hear that they needed Scrum Masters over at the financial services group, there was no hesitation. They jumped in. They all worked remote from various parts of the country. But the culture of the company was a culture that held things together and made things work. Go ahead.
Jim, I'm going to, in the closing couple minutes here, I'm going to make a couple of comments from the outside in. And again, not criticisms, but just a little bit of a reflection from where I'm sitting. And then let's open it up for some comments. So my first comment here is the whole of the enterprise is greater than the sum of its parts. But if the sum of its parts aren't aligned with the enterprise, it can cause quite the problem. The other comment is businesses suffer from fragmentation, and we probably all know that. Whenever we're doing a redesign of a function within a business, we start with the overall enterprise to answer the question, what's your competitive difference? What's your intended customer experience? What are you trying to do in the marketplace? What's your operating model? And what's the design criteria driving that? To ensure that the parts of the organization that you're redesigning, in this case, had some real customer impacts, was aligned with the enterprise. Question to you is, did you ever do any of that work before you dug into the IT and the parts of the business and worked on that?
We essentially delegated that to the business partners, the senior business leaders, to advocate for the agents and the end customers and themselves.
Gotcha.
And so they brought that into the design process and into every workshop and every sprint that we constructed. So we did not do a customer journey maps, for example. Right. We did not map it out. We right. put the people who would have mapped that out in the room to design the solution paths.
Great. Well, and my second comment, taking your question literally, how would you show the need for redesign? And one of the things that we find particularly effective is activating and describing a series of real scenarios as they run through the current operating model to show where things break down, and not just symptoms, but actual root causes, particularly overlaid over the current operating model. And then letting the teams who did that work talk directly with the leaders to say, look, this is the system we have and this is what we're trying to do with it. Did you do anything like that where your 24 leaders actually worked directly with leaders to say, this is what we need and this is why we need it, using any kind of real scenarios?
The 24 leaders talking to leaders above them or below them?
Well, both. Let's start with above them to get permission to redesign versus restructure and just take the heads out.
Yeah, that was built into every proposal was reviewed with their senior leaders and with the leaders who would have to implement it. And it was negotiated before it was presented to the CIO with the risk adjustments. So usually the risks would come from the people that were involved in whatever the work was that was being redesigned and the structure around it. And they would provide the risks, answering the question, what might prevent us from, and then meeting, fulfilling the purpose. And that was factored in there. So again, it was speed. So it was all being done simultaneously. And it was a nightmare for the consultants to keep track of everything.
Especially a team of three. All right, with that said, we've squandered another 90 minutes on a design dilemma. Hopefully you found this insightful. Any closing comments from our participants, from our colleagues here before we close, before I pass it off to Tanya? Feedback to Jim, did you appreciate the case study? Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, really well put together.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Great, thanks, Kathy. All right, everyone, Tanya, you wanna close it up?
I, again, appreciate your time, Mark, and Jim, putting this-
Tanya, I'll send you my notes for the result that came out of it so that you can pass that along if you would as well.
Okay, since this is open to post, I'll put the recording onto the website with your placemat and your notes and let everybody who registered for today's call know when it's all available.
Tanya, thanks for all your good work behind the scenes and Duyen and as well. So Jim, thanks for going. And again, we invite anyone who wants to bring a design dilemma to us, bring it on and we'll reach back out to you.
Our first two have been ones that have been resolved. So now I'm anxious to try one that is, I need help now.
Exactly. Yes, that would actually be great right now. All right, everyone, have a great week wherever you're at in the world. Thank you for your time.
Take care, be safe, healthy.
Okay, bye all.